Salisbury Sound, north of Sitka, can be a tumultuous place. Pacific Ocean waters and winds meet inside passage currents here to kick up powerful waves that dash against the rocky shores. But on this day, only gentle swells rock the boat. Binoculars-clad visitors admire the spruce hemlock forests reflected in a protected inlet surface. They photograph the rugged, mist-shrouded mountains and scan the kelp beds for otters. But the landscape, like these waters, can kick up a storm. 76 acres near this sound and another 85,000 or so elsewhere in southeast are being claimed by the Panhandle's Regional Native Corporation. It's part of a controversial economic development plan proposed by Sea Alaska, whose 20,000 shareholders descended from the land's first residents.
The region needs help, and we believe that our land entitlement legislation is a significant part of that.
Chris McNeil is president and CEO of Sea Alaska, which has already selected close to 300,000 acres in the region. More than two-thirds of that was forested, and most has been logged, selectively, or through clear cuts. But the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which created this and a dozen other regional corporations, promised more. Sea Alaska could, right now, claim the remaining land it's owned from within box-shaped boundaries surrounding shareholders' home communities. But Senator Lisa Murkowski's staffer, Kevin Sweeney, told those at a meeting in Sitka last year that there are reasons to look elsewhere.
Sea Alaska was a little different than the rest of the regional corporations in that they were limited to select lands around 10 villages in southeast. And the problem that Sea Alaska sees is that while there are 327,000 acres still available in those boxes, 44% of that is actually saltwater.
Corporation officials say most of that inside-the-box acreage should be kept public as part of the Tongass. That would protect roadless areas, watersheds, and land used for subsistence hunting and fishing.
We have 70,000 acres of selection rights in the Yakutat area, much of it along the Setuck River corridor.
Rick Harris is Sea Alaska's executive vice president. He says land along the salmon-producing river is not a good place for economic development, the purpose of most selections, and neither are many other locations within the Claims Act's boundaries.
We have selection rights in the City of Craig's municipal watershed. We already own several municipal watersheds or portions of them, and we really don't think that the community would like us to own more land in their municipal watershed.
But opponents say the land Sea Alaska wants to claim has many of the same reasons to be protected.
If they did significant clear cutting in some of those key locations, it's going to potentially affect native villages' quality of their drinking water. It could affect their ability to hunt and fish.
Lindsay Ketchell of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council says she's not against Sea Alaska claiming land outside the boxes. But SEAC and other environmental groups continue to oppose most of Sea Alaska's proposed selections.
When Sea Alaska has selected areas outside the box, they've gone after old growth reserves, they've gone after old forest research farms where there are some of the biggest and best trees out there. And I think that they've got to lower their sights.
Most of the land in question, about 80,000 acres, is on or near Prince of Wales Island. Sea Alaska wants it for logging, spread out over several decades. Much of the rest is in small parcels throughout the region called future sites, where development, possibly tourism or energy production, might take place. What remains is sacred sites, those of historic or cultural value, including old village or fish camp locations, plus some migration routes. Sea Alaska CEO Chris McNeil says the timber and future sites are part of a regional plan.
What we're trying to achieve for our tribal member shareholders is a development of sustainable economies in the region.
The land selection plan has been before Congress since 2007 when Don Young introduced a version in the U.S. House. Lisa Murkowski, with support from Mark Begich, introduced versions in the Senate. But the bills are not Sea Alaska's first attempt to take ownership of Tongass forests outside the Claims Act boundaries. Efforts started in the late 1990s. The corporation first tried negotiating directly with the Forest Service. Then it proposed putting most southeast timberlands under the control of a native-managed trust. Neither plan went anywhere.
This is not a non-native versus native issue. This is an issue of the public versus corporate greed.
Jeff Sabonik has spent 3 decades in port protection on Northwest Prince of Wales. He says the corporation wants islanders and others near the lands to give up their lives in exchange for profits.
Sea Alaska was a principal participant in the establishment and delineation of the boundaries of the lands from which to select. Now, 39 years later, after they have nearly exhausted their timber reserves, they want to change the rules.
We have a right out of the Tongass. We are only asking for 3%. We are asking for a sliver.
Sarah Dibdahl works for the corporation's cultural arm. She's originally from Prince of Wales Island and spoke at the Craig meeting.
Where can we go? When can natives have prime land without it being objective? We have a right, and it's about time that it's settled.
Sea Alaska officials hope for action on the bill by now, and Congressman Young and Senator Murkowski both plan to reintroduce the legislation this year. Sea Alaska's Rick Harris says the corporation is patient. Opponents, including environmental groups, say they're also prepared for the long haul. This is Ed Schoenfeld.